Wednesday, November 22nd, 2017. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. You know, we bring you a new sports podcast every single week. We try to keep things light. We like to make fun of things in sports. We like to make fun of, well, pretty much everyone, because things are funny. We do try to bring you a common sense approach to the world of sports, and we have found, the longer we've done this, common sense in sports, not always that common. Now, there are a couple different ways that you can participate in the show. You can go check out new articles. You can go check out a link to the podcast every single week if you just head over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com. But maybe you've got a question. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you need some advice. If you have something you'd like to bring to the show, we would love to hear from you. Be sure that you hit us on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or you can find us and interact with us over on Twitter or Facebook. That handle is at Daily Dose Sports, DALYDOSE, Daily Dose Sports, all one word. We'd love to hear from you. We would love to get your thoughts today on the show. Hey, it is Thanksgiving week here in the good old US of A, and we have a number of things to be thankful for here at the Daily Dose. You know, we want to discuss some of the things that we are thankful for this past year. You know, we are starting to see some of the favorites separate themselves in the NFL. But you know, I actually have some confidence issues with a few of the top teams in that league. We're going to talk about what's making me a little bit nervous about some of the top teams in the NFL. Cupcake week is over in college football, and this week, we actually have some really, really good matchups. It is rivalry week, and I can't wait for college football this weekend. You might want to plan on not getting a whole lot done this coming weekend. We may have a special guest stop by. See if we can run down one of our favorite guests that we have had on the Daily Dose before. And we do have a Thanksgiving-flavored Daily Dose Top 5 you do not want to miss. You have to make sure that you stick around for the Daily Dose Top 5. You never know which way that is going to go. You know I say this every single year, but I do love Thanksgiving. I know we have some listeners that are not in the United States. And we do love you listeners that aren't in the States. But if you aren't from America, Thanksgiving is the fourth Thursday in November where we celebrate all of the things in life that we have to be thankful for. And we do this by getting together, gorging ourselves with as much food as physically possible, drinking heavily, and watching American football pretty much all day long. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, isn't that basically what Americans do every single day of their lives anyways? And I understand why you'd say that. And honestly, you're not entirely wrong, but here on Thanksgiving, we tend to eat ourselves into a food coma and watch football and drink heavily with our families. And that's a little bit different from what we do every single day, because a lot of times we don't always get together with our families. See, that's the difference. On Thanksgiving, it's usually with our families. So we eat too much, we sometimes get drunk, we watch football, and we argue with family members and say horribly regrettable things that then later we feel bad for. Now, you might think this is a bad way to spend our holiday, but it's actually a really, really important tradition because it reminds us of how the Native Americans made some very regrettable choices by trusting white people. See, it's just a tradition that you just follow here in the States. Now, the way some people celebrate this holiday is that prior to their big Thanksgiving meal, it's customary to have like a giant meal of maybe turkey, ham, potatoes, gravy, like 57 different kinds of pie, whatever. But prior to the big Thanksgiving meal, many gatherings that you'll go to, they'll go around the table and they'll have each person say something that they're thankful for. And I'm telling you right now, this is a no-win situation, especially, this is the worst. If you're at your significant other's family or like a friend's house and it's not like your family, because you have that obligation, you feel obligated to say something publicly that's either like clever or sentimental, and it's just brutal. It's so, so bad. So if you are attending one of those Thanksgiving dinners tomorrow, in which you'll have to make some sort of public display of thankfulness, feel free to use one of ours. Here are some of the things that we here at the Daily Dose are thankful for. First up on our list, you know, I'm thankful for LeBron James' pettiness. LeBron is an amazing basketball player. He is physically one of the most gifted players I've ever seen. He has proven capable of carrying below average teams to level they honestly have no business reaching. He somehow won a title in the city of Cleveland. Yeah, that's pretty remarkable right there. And the Cavs are starting to warm up this season after starting off 3-5. Cleveland is starting to win games again, mostly because LeBron is taking over like he usually does. Having said that, LeBron also has the sensitivity of like a 13-year-old girl that's suffering from premenstrual cramps. He is the ultimate millennial. He needs a hug for everything he does. I don't know if you saw it recently. There's a 30 for 30 about Trayvon Martin. LeBron James introduced himself as a basketball player and a philanthropist. He compares himself to Muhammad Ali. Yeah, except that people kind of forget that a lot of people hated Muhammad Ali back when he was popular and back when he was taking some of these political stances. LeBron takes the most popular stances in the world and then acts like he's making waves. Hey, everybody, I don't know if you know this, but I'm against racism. Yeah, so is like 99.8% of the population, bro. You're not a philanthropist because you rode the subway in New York City wearing hoodies with your boys. You're honestly just kind of an attention whore. Then, last week, he tried to bully the New York Knicks. You can't pick on the littlest kid on the playground. Of course, Knicks' big man Enes Kanter, he stood up to LeBron. And LeBron didn't really like it. Like, he was kind of upset about it. Hey, I hate to tell you this, LeBron, but Kanter has fought the Turkish government. He's not afraid of LeBron sending him like a mean Instagram meme. I love this whole aspect of athletes today in that regard. I love it specifically with LeBron. I love the fact we have never seen bigger, stronger, or faster athletes, yet they're so completely emotional dependent upon getting these social trophies to place on their weird mantles. LeBron James, he is. He's one of the most incredible athletes I have ever seen. So why does a mean tweet have him curled up in a fetal position, sucking his thumb and just crying? I am eternally thankful for the pettiness of LeBron James. What else am I thankful for? I know I say it a lot, but I am thankful for sports documentaries. Nothing is as unpredictable as sports, and a good sports documentary, it captures the drama, it captures the excitement of those uncertain moments that we love in sports. Now here at the Daily Dose, we like to recognize the best sports movies that we've seen over the past year around like Oscar time. When the Oscar awards come out, we kind of do that. Because, honestly, we know Hollywood wouldn't know sports if it bludgeoned them over the head with a hockey stick. But, I'll just throw this one out there. If you haven't seen the Netflix series Last Chance U, I would encourage you, go binge watch those two seasons as soon as you get done listening to this podcast. Last Chance U follows a community college in Mississippi. It has a tradition of winning. They've won like 3 championships in a row. And what they do is they take Division I players that have gotten in some kind of trouble for a number of reasons. They get them playing again, they get them academically eligible again, and then they try to send them back to those big Division I schools. And they have to do it at this little podunk school down in Mississippi. I mean, you've got heroes, you've got villains, you've got last-second drama. This is a very, very fun sports documentary that shows what a good sports doc can bring to the table when it is done right. Go check out Last Chance U. You will enjoy it. What else am I thankful for? I know there are arguments against parody, but I'm thankful for the parody of the NFL. I know those arguments against parody. Mostly that there are no truly great teams, only some mediocre teams across the board. For the most part, that's pretty much true. You know, currently, we aren't seeing great football in the NFL. We talked about it last week. But I actually do like the parody in the NFL because I like the fact that every season, we see teams move up, we see teams drop back. And we don't know who it's going to be going into this season. You might have predicted New England, Kansas City, and Pittsburgh in the AFC, right? But who had Jacksonville leading the AFC South? Who had Philadelphia, Minnesota, New Orleans, the Los Angeles freaking Rams? Who had them? We didn't expect any of that. And then, on the other side, who had teams like the Broncos, the Giants, the Buccaneers, down at the very, very bottom of their divisions? Hey, we look at the NBA. And we know who the favorites are in the NBA almost every year. Like, we're rarely surprised, are we? We look at Major League Baseball. we know, for the most part, the teams that spend a ton of money, they're probably going to be good. But in the NFL, it seems like there are genuine surprises every single year. Now, if that league could just develop some quarterbacks, we'd really have something. But as bad as the regular season has been, and it has been bad, the playoffs are going to be very, very fun because there are no unbeatable teams. And as a result, we have no idea how these things are going to turn out. I actually like the parity in the NFL. Another thing that I'm thankful for. Look, I realize that we are a television nation. I totally get that. Beyond that, not even television. We're a device nation now. We literally will watch sports on like a 5-inch phone with an 80-inch television in the next room. But whatever. I was raised on radio. I wasn't raised on radio by choice. It's because my parents didn't always have a great TV. But I also think I might have mentioned this on past podcasts. I was raised in church. Like hardcore church. Like you had Sunday school on Sunday morning. You had a regular sermon on Sunday night. You had a Wednesday night prayer meeting. Thursday night youth group. Friday night something, Saturday night something. Like, it was brutal. But as a result, I learned at a very young age to smuggle small radios into church. I would run an earbud wire up under my shirt, and I'd make sure to sit on the correct side of the church auditorium so that I could listen to those early NFL or NBA games on Sunday mornings. And sometimes they were starting right about the time that we were settling in for a two-hour lecture on why we were all going to hell anyways. So growing up, I heard a number of big games on the radio, and there is something to be said for a great radio call. It paints a picture of what is happening in sports. The emotion comes through. The crowd noise comes through. And while I might have been sitting somewhere I didn't really want to be, I was transported to some very big games, and for a few minutes, it truly felt like I was there just because of the great radio call that I heard. Here is a clip that kind of sums up what I'm talking about. Yes, the play was illegal. But it is historic, and it does capture the excitement of a memorable and historical sports radio call.
Harmon will probably try to squib it, and he does. Ball comes loose, and the Bears have to get out of bounds. Rodgers along the sideline, another one. They're still in deep trouble at midfield. They tried to do a couple of... The ball is still loose as they get it to Rodgers. They give it back now to the 30. They're down to the 20. All the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone. He's going to go into the end zone. The Bears have won. The Bears have won. Oh, my God. The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Yeah, I'm thankful for those historical sports radio calls. Those are really, really cool and something I will never forget. I hear those. I get chills. It's amazing. You know, I'm thankful for the Golden State Warriors. And I'm thankful for the Warriors for a few different reasons. I love the way they play basketball. Basketball is five players moving in unison as one. It is not, as we had to watch for years, walk up, play isolation ball with a big, strong guy. That's not basketball. It's movement. It's spacing. It's dribbling. It's shooting. It's unselfishness. And that is how the Golden State Warriors play. But you know, it's not just that. I'm also thankful for the Warriors for giving us some villains. You know, not everyone was happy when Kevin Durant left Oklahoma City to join a super team. And Draymond Green, he says some of the dumbest things I have ever heard come out of a human being's mouth. Sometimes even Steph Curry acts like a spoiled brat when he doesn't get the calls that he wants. But hey, I like that villain aspect of the Warriors. I also like that the Warriors are a super team. Hey, they've won two of the past three NBA finals. They may be winning their third this year. And as a result of them being a very, very good basketball team that is a little bit of a villain and that is really, really good, we have people watching the game. More importantly, we have kids watching basketball. They're either rooting for the Warriors or they're rooting against the Warriors, but they are watching, and that is a very, very good thing, and I'm thankful for that. I really am. I'm thankful for boxers like Oscar De La Hoya and Bernard Hopkins that still think they can fight. Did you see Oscar say, like last week, that he would get in the ring with Conor McGregor and knock him out in two rounds? Okay, Oscar. The last time we saw you fight, Manny Pacquiao gave you a serious beating, and that was 9 years ago. Here's some news. You can play breaking news if you want to, but here's some, I guess, breaking news. Fighters don't actually get better with age.
What?
Now, what Oscar could have said, he could have said something like, you know, back in my prime, I would have beaten Conor McGregor in 2 rounds. Not I can beat him in 2 rounds now. Everyone just laughs at you. Same thing goes for Bernard Hopkins, who is an absolute warrior of a fighter. He went 55-8 as a fighter. He fought professionally until he was 51 years old, but man, did you see his last fight? It was rough. He fought Joe Smith Jr., whoever that is, who actually knocked B-Hop out of the ring. I'm not exaggerating. I'm saying this literally. Here's a clip from HBO.
Bernard could fight in his last fight, and Rayfield suggested to Hopkins two possible opponents.
Oh, big right hand.
He's out.
Oh, my gosh. That's Joe Smith, Dan Rayfield suggested as an opponent, has just knocked Bernard Hopkins out of the ring.
He should have 20 seconds to get back in. If he can get back in 20 seconds, he's not knocked out. And I don't think he's aware of that.
And he's being assisted. He's being assisted by a lot of people at ringside. That should disqualify him.
He's out of his feet, though.
And it's over.
You know, these fighters become great because of their determination, because of their fearlessness. And you know, that's also the same thing that keeps them getting back in the ring, well, that and the paycheck, long after they should have stopped. But hey, it's entertaining and a few laughs to me. Let's see, I'm thankful for the sound of a basketball crowd. You know, there's something different about a basketball crowd. I coached basketball for a long time, and those intense crowds that you deal with, they're actually really amazing. And I've been with friendly crowds and I've been with hostile crowds. They're amazing on either side of it. You know, with basketball being indoors, the chants, the cheers, the boos, they're all just so audible. You know, basketball players dive to save a loose ball. They end up in the stands on top of the spectators. They are that close to the game. And the coolest thing about the fans being that close is just how loud they are when there's a big play. When there is that game-winning shot, or that clutch play, and every fan in the arena yells, yeah, at once. It is truly an amazing thing to hear. Here's a clip from CBS that kind of shows what I'm talking about.
Vapor's in trouble with 5 seconds to go. Lost the dribble, found it again, leans in. That's no good. Back tap, Napier for the win! He got it!
What else am I thankful for this Thanksgiving? You know, I'm thankful for the Buffalo Bills. I'm thankful for the Buffalo Bills because no matter how your team is doing, they're going to make you feel a little bit better about yourself. Look, I'm not trying to pick on the Bills, and I'm certainly not trying to pick on Bills' number one fan, Raymond from DC, who has been on the Daily Dose a few times. Well, maybe I am. I don't know. Either way. But the Buffalo Bills make us all feel a little bit better about our NFL teams, don't they? I mean, take, for instance, my team. I'm a Denver Broncos fan. Hey, the Denver Broncos have lost 5 Super Bowls. It was brutal. That was rough when we lost those games. But they have won 3. And they haven't lost 4 in a row like the Bills did. It makes me feel a little bit better. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they have a history of being awful. But hey, they won 1 Super Bowl. It's better than the Bills. I mean, take a team even like the Cleveland Browns, who just are awful every year. They might go 0-16 this year. Over the past 10 years, the Cleveland Browns are 38-116. The Browns are like the epitome of a horrible NFL franchise. They are bad from the top all the way down. They're a factory of failure. And yet, they went to the playoffs in 2002. The Bills haven't gone to the playoffs since 1999. Yeah, even Browns fans feel better about themselves when they look at the Bills. This year, it looked like it might end. The Bills got off to a 5-2 start. And now they've lost 4 of their last 6 games and are currently 5-5. Last week, they benched starting quarterback Tyrod Taylor in favor of rookie starter Nathan Peterman. Head coach Sean McDermott, he's just trying to cover himself. He's a defensive coach. And the Bills' defense has been absolutely awful lately. They're allowing 45 points per game in their last 3 games. So what does McDermott do? Does he blame himself? Of course not. He's going to blame his quarterback, Tyrod Taylor. Hey, it's easier than looking in the mirror, right? I love the Buffalo Bills. They make us all feel a little bit better. Do you realize that the 2018 Winter Olympics begin in February in South Korea? Now, we've talked about it before. The Winter Olympics are a little bit weird. I'll admit that. Most of the events feels like a drunken dare because there is no way that a sober person is going to strap skis to their feet and go off a 360-foot slide made out of ice. That's something that you dare someone to do. You don't actually do it. No one is going to sled down a frozen hill at over 80 miles an hour wearing like a Speedo suit and a crash helmet. That's the act of a crazy person. No one in their right mind would do that, but they do it every single day in the Winter Olympics. And here's the thing that I like about the Winter Olympics. Because some of the events are a little odd, like you'd have to admit. Like some of them are a little bit weird, aren't they? Like ski for 6 miles and then shoot a mountain goat, wrestle a bear, and then jump a snowmobile over a flaming school bus in the least amount of time, you win a gold medal. I don't understand any of it, whatever. It's kind of strange. But here's what I really like about these Olympics coming up. February is always kind of a rough month for sports. The Super Bowl is early in February. College football is long over. The NBA isn't quite all that interesting yet. College basketball just starting to get better. And baseball, I don't know, they're playing 3 or 4 cactus leagues or something. I don't know. I think they just play year-round. Anyways, I'm thankful for the Winter Olympics because they give us something to watch after the Super Bowl and until March Madness gets there. And for that, I'm very thankful. Finally, last and certainly not least, I am genuinely thankful for every single listener of the Daily Dose. Maybe you've actually been on the show. Maybe you've texted. Maybe you've emailed me. Maybe you've told me in person you enjoy the show. Maybe you have shared or liked the podcast on social media. Maybe you've never reached out to us in any way, shape, or form, but you enjoy the Daily Dose podcast. Thank you. Genuinely. Like we told you last week, starting December 4th, we are moving to a daily 30-minute show on Monday through Friday. And we appreciate every single person out there that listens to the show. Thank you. We appreciate you being here, and we're looking forward to spending even more time with you every single week. You know, speaking of listeners to the Daily Dose, we are joined right now by one of our favorite listeners, but it is a listener that always makes me just a little nervous when she calls in because I have no idea what she's going to say. Joining us right now on the Daily Dose, Trixie from Florida. Trixie, it's been a while since you've been on the Daily Dose. How are you doing today?
Oh my God. Hi, Tracy Poo. How have you been?
Wow, I've been great.
Long.
It has. It's been a while. We haven't talked to you in a little bit. How have you been?
I've been really great. You know, there's just been so much going on, and I just don't even know where to start.
What have you been up to?
Well, you know what? I think I'm going to need a beverage for this. So hang on just a second while I go ahead and get this beer out.
Okay. If you need a beverage,
oh,
then
goodness.
Been a long day, I guess.
It's been a long time. You're seriously just not even going to understand. Let me just keep this circle open. Okay, there we go. All right.
Okay.
Okay, so what's been going on? So let me tell you this crazy story. I was dating this guy, so that's a big reason why you haven't heard from me. Now, I've been dating this guy, and he just embarrassed me in public, Clint.
You know how?
I don't even know how to discuss this. Are you ready for this?
I don't know if I'm ready, but go ahead. I am as ready as I'm going to get.
All right. So we go out to this baseball game because, you know, I love baseball. And so we're having a good time. Well, he goes off to the bathroom, and I posted something on social media and said that we were at the game. And so one of my old coworkers hit me up, and he was like, hey, I'm downtown too. If you want to come and meet me and my wife for a drink after the game. And I was like, yeah, I didn't respond right away and wait for my boyfriend to come back. And it was taking forever. So, you know, we've been together for a minute, so I thought it would be okay to just be like, yeah, okay, for a drink, not a big deal. Well, he gets back, and he loses his mind on me. He said, how dare I actually even think about including him in something without discussing it with him first? And again, you know, we've been together for a minute, so I just didn't think there was a problem. Plus, he'd done it to me before, so I was like, well, what's this double standard talking about?
Oh, no.
So it just set the tone for the night. So I was like, okay, I just tell this guy no, we can't make it, blah, blah, blah. So then he starts talking about how this guy must mean so much to me, and I must have had a thing with him. And I'm like, where did that even come from? It was just an old coworker I hadn't seen in a couple of years. So at that point, I am totally on edge. I'm not enjoying the game anymore. And I was like, you know, we need to go. So as we're walking out, this fool, this douchey McDoucherson, has decided to make a public display of what is going on between the two of us. And I'm like, oh, this is not okay with me. And I said to him, so you need to calm down. We'll take this to the car, but we are not going to have this discussion in public. So I'm walking ahead of him because he is just talking, talking. Clint, I almost lost my mind on him.
That's not good.
So we keep walking and He's just back there. He's cussing at me, saying, dropping the F-bombs. And I was like, I didn't understand it. All I did was, you know, say yes to something I didn't know was going to be such a problem. So we finally get out. We're getting close to the car. And he's just still going. I said, okay, you know what? I don't like to air my dirty laundry in front of nobody, okay? If I want you to know it, it's probably because you're my friend and I will tell you about it.
Right.
But nowhere will you ever see anything like this on my social media. I said, you need to stop right now. And he said, I will not stop. So I said, okay. You're not going to stop? Well, I'm going to make sure everybody hears it.
Oh,
and
no.
And you know what I did to it?
I'm afraid to know.
I made sure everybody within hearing distance knew he wanted to have a fight in public. So I yelled to everybody. I said, oh, you want to do this here? Hey, everybody, pay attention. Because we're going to have a discussion about this right here. Because he can't wait till we get to the car. So you go right ahead, sir. You tell them what you want everybody to know.
You lit him up in front of everyone.
You know what? You could have done it in front of me. And we were kind of in a place where there weren't a lot of people. But I was like, you know, just stop this. And the fact that he kept going and we were some more people at that point when we were getting to the car, I was like, oh, no. The homie did not play that game, okay?
I'm assuming you're not together anymore then?
Well, you know, because I'm stupid. You know, because, you know, when you're in love, you let people do things that you just wouldn't normally accept from somebody else.
Oh, no.
So, and we had a discussion about it, and come to find out, I didn't leave him right away after that, but it came to light that he had this friend of his that he was not really wanting me to meet, and I found out it's because they were best friends, but he would never let me meet her. And come to find out, they had stuck together in the past, but for some reason, projecting that on me with this guy friend that I had.
Well, sure.
I never had a romantic relationship, but I was co-worker with him. So needless to say that it did end, and I have to tell you the biggest reason, and you know what? If you see red flags in a relationship, men and women alike, you walk away. You know what? Power walk away if you need to. Get out of that.
Sure.
Because one minute you are thinking this person has potential, the next minute they have lost their mind, and you're going to leave it right with them, and that's what happened. And I said, this is unacceptable. So that's what I've been dealing with and some other stuff, but that was the biggest thing that I thought, oh my goodness, it's just, I can't believe this is happening to me in public.
That's not good.
No, not at all.
Trixie, are you still working? Where are you working at these days? Or can you tell us that?
You know, I'm still dabbling in the evening, partaking of, you know, just kind of doing my thing.
Okay.
And, you know, I like to make sure that my clientele gets taken care of. You know, just, you know what I do.
I have an idea. I have an idea. You've hinted a kind of around what you do. I'm kind of piecing some things together, but I have a decent idea of what it is that you do. Trix, did you hear? We're actually going to a daily show starting in December. We're going to be having a 30-minute show every weekday. You could actually listen to us every Monday through Friday as you're going to work either in the morning or the evening or whatever it is you do. But we're actually switching to a daily show here in December.
You know, I did. I heard that on the last podcast, and I am just so delighted with that. You know, congratulations. That has to be so exciting for you and
thank you.
All of your listeners, because like I said before, you're just so funny, and it's enjoyable to listen to, even though I'm not a huge sports fan, but it's something I do enjoy listening to.
Well, Trixie, I appreciate that. You know, today on The Daily Dose, we've actually been talking about things that we are thankful for with Thanksgiving coming up tomorrow. I know there are some things in your life that you have to be thankful for. What are you thankful for this year?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, one thing I am definitely thankful for is my singleness. You know, because everyone's crazy, obviously, in their own way. And, you know, at this point, I just haven't found the level of crazy that I'm willing to deal with at
sure.
this point. So I'm very happy with that. But actually, as a matter of fact, are you single yet?
No. I'm married. I'm happily taken.
You know, a guy, girl, got to try. Because you know, I just love you so much, Quincy. That's and another thing I am thankful for.
Yeah.
I have to admit, you know, I moved out of my apartment into a house with some roommates because I wanted to save some money to buy my own place. And a girlfriend of mine went out of town, and she's like, "Hey, do you want to stay here for a little bit?" And I was like, "Oh, heck yeah!" Because you know what? One thing I'm grateful for: not having to put on a bra when I get up every day. So I can go out into the kitchen or the living room and watch TV. Because you know what? These girls need a breathe, okay?
Well, I mean, you got to do what makes you happy, right?
Right. You know what? They are so happy right now. I am just sitting here in my living room. Well, not
right now?
I'm right now. They're free of the bird. She's my cherry pie. Cool drink of water, such a sweet surprise. Tastes so good, make a grown man cry. Sweet cherry pie, yeah. Free as a naked day bird, okay?
Hey, yeah, I guess, like I said, you gotta do you. Make you comfortable.
I'm so thankful for that. And, you know, there is one thing I would like to discuss with you really quick, and it's kind of on a serious note.
Okay.
It actually happened with my girlfriend. She's got a daughter, and it's kind of as a serious thing. So, I would just like to say for the women out there, and maybe for men as well.
Yeah.
Just please pay attention to your surroundings. Her daughter, bless her heart, was in her car sitting there looking for some music on her phone at school, and someone got into her car, and thank God nothing happened to her, but, you know, it could have, because
she
wasn't paying attention to her surroundings. So
that's scary.
I just like to say, it was so scary. Oh, my goodness. He was just charged. You know, he finally, it was a jury, they went to trial, and he was found guilty of burglary and robbery because of it. So please, lock your doors when you get into your car and make sure you're paying attention in your head, not in your app. Okay?
Trixie, that is excellent advice. I'm glad that you brought that up here on the Daily Dose, because that's excellent advice for all of us. I know that we all get that way. We're looking at our phones. We're not always paying attention. We're not always paying attention to driving or our surroundings, like you said, especially like you said, also for females, young females being in a dangerous situation like that. I'm glad you brought that up, because that is a really, really important thing that I don't think people do that nearly enough.
No, I think you're very right about that. And honestly, if I had hit home so closely, I never would have thought about it by myself. And especially with the holidays, because we're so hurrying and rushing everywhere that we're not really paying attention, that I encourage people to just pay attention to your surroundings. Get in your car, lock your door, and just be aware.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good advice. That's really good advice. I'm glad you brought that up. Well, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? How are you spending Thanksgiving this week?
So I'm going over to my mom and daddy's house,
okay.
You know, and we're going to have some family over, you know, kind of a small family that we have coming over, you know, because I have crazy family. I do. It's just the stories I could tell you, but we'll keep that for another time
okay.
If we ever talk, you know, in another episode, because I'd love to talk to you, because I love you so much, Kenzie Poo. yeah.
I forgot what I was going to say now. You've got me all messed up. I
forgot I
what I was going
to say. You know, I'm single.
Well, you are single. Does your family know what it is that you do for a living?
Oh, they have an idea as well. You know, I'd like to keep my personal life separate of my business. It's
sure.
Just, it keeps it cleaner, and then nobody needs to worry about it. Because, I mean, I make a good living, you know?
Yeah, it seems like you're doing pretty well. Are you going to go out and do any of that Black Friday shopping stuff?
Oh, my goodness, no. Amazon is my best friend. I'm already done.
Are you really?
I am done.
Wow. I'm seriously jealous of you. I haven't even started yet.
You haven't even started yet. Oh my goodness! No. Well, you know, you need to get it on your ready. You got the Cyber Monday coming up as well. So honestly, it's definitely something you should do. What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I'll just spend it with family. You know, I'll just kind of lay low and try not to hurt myself. Watch a lot of football. That's my plan for the weekend. I'm watching a lot of football. I'm not getting off the couch a whole lot.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. You are the sports buff.
Well, something like that. Well, hey, Trixie, thank you so much for coming by. You know, we're going to have you on again, maybe sometime over the holidays when we can talk to you. Maybe you could come on for one of the daily shows when we switch over to that daily format. Maybe you could come on and discuss a few of the latest happenings in your life again.
I would absolutely love it. You just are such a delight, and I love listening to you. So thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you so much for stopping by. You know you're always welcome, and we will be talking again very, very soon.
No, thank you so much. Y'all have a great night. Hey, happy Thanksgiving.
Coming back, you know, we are heading down the stretch in the NFL. but I actually have some confidence issues with a few teams, and it's not the mediocre teams. It's not the below average teams. I actually have some issues with some of the top teams. We're going to look at some of the things that they might need to be concerned about as they head down the stretch. You know, this past weekend in college football, we didn't see very many great matchups, but now it is rivalry week, and you are not going to want to make many plans aside from just sitting in front of the TV. There are going to be some great games that are going to have a huge impact on the college football playoff. We'll discuss a few of the games that you are going to want to make sure that you tune in for. Plus, we have a Thanksgiving-flavored Daily Dose Top 5 you do not want to miss.
Hey guys, Duff here from the Prime Podcast. I wanted to take a quick moment to thank our network, Rogue Intel. Rogue Intel gives us the ability to speak our minds, be ourselves, and put out amazingly awesome podcasts. Be sure to check out their other shows at rogueintel.com. And if you want to help keep the network going, head over to rogueintel.com/Amazon for all your shopping needs. It doesn't cost you any extra, and a portion of your total will go to help support the network. That's rogueintel.com/Amazon.
Hi guys, Cooper here from the Unquote Podcast. Unquote delves into what makes movie quotes so, well, quotable. See, I have a guest each week watch a movie selected from the American Film Institute's Top 100 Movie Quotes list, and then we sit down and ponder cultural impingement and cinematic preponderance and... Okay, you got me. My thesaurus was totally open. A little factual and a lot of fun, it's the least contentious peanut gallery in history. Unquote is part of the Rogue Intel Network, and you can find me on iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter.
The NFL just finished up week 11 in their season, and we are now in that final stretch of the regular season. There are a few teams that we are starting to see separate themselves from the rest of the pack, and they look like they might be the favorites for the postseason. But with all of the parity in the league, like we talked about earlier, everyone in the NFL is beatable. So if we look at the top teams in the NFL, what do each of them have to worry about as we finish out the year and head into the postseason? Here are a few of the top teams, and here are a few of the concerns that they should have as we head down the stretch. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs, they were the team that got everyone's attention early when they went to Foxborough and knocked off the New England Patriots to start the season. They put 42 points on the Patriots on the road. They then went on to win their first five games, and everyone started talking, could the Chiefs actually end their postseason drought this year? Well, maybe not. Because after that hot start, Kansas City has now lost four of their last five games, including a loss on Sunday to the one-win New York Giants. And it's the same old problem for the Chiefs. They don't stretch the field. Whether it's a lack of talent at wide receiver or a lack of ability to throw the ball downfield by Alex Smith, their offense is struggling. In their four recent losses, they have managed to score just 17 points a game. Now remember, they were averaging 33 points a game in those five wins. And the Chiefs are also starting to look suspect on that defensive front. They have allowed over 130 yards rushing in those losses. And they're not generating that much pressure on opposing quarterbacks. The Kansas City Chiefs might be leading the AFC West for now. Chiefs are looking flawed. In fact, I'll go one step further with Kansas City. At the rate they are currently playing, I don't know that they need to worry about the postseason, because I don't know if they're even going to get to the postseason. The way the Chiefs are playing right now, I think the Los Angeles Chargers might actually end up winning the AFC West.
What?
Yeah, I said it. It needed to be said, and I said it. They'll probably almost win a playoff game. But yeah, be careful, Chiefs. The Chargers may end up passing you the way you're playing right now. Another team that's kind of a favorite. The Carolina Panthers are a contender in the NFC. They sit in second place in the NFC South with a 7-3 record. The Panthers are in a good spot for a wild card. Here's what I don't like about Carolina, though. If you stack the box defensively and you force Cam Newton to pass and you can actually keep him in the pocket, he really, really struggles to beat teams. If you can contain him, you have to keep him in the pocket. Where he is so dangerous is when he gets outside of that pocket, breaks containment, because he's just such a dangerous runner. But the Panthers really have to be careful running Cam too much, because while it does open things up, it also does allow Cam to take some big hits, and we see defensive players, they're trying to knock Cam out. And keep in mind, the Panthers are going to see very good defenses in the playoffs. They had better protect Cam Newton. If you can't run the ball and Cam has to beat teams from the pocket, you might not have a very good time. A little bit of a flaw with the Panthers right now. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they were a popular preseason pick to win the AFC, primarily because their defense has improved so much over the last few years. And I mean, look at their offense. It's loaded with talent. They've got Ben Roethlisberger. They've got Le'Veon Bell. They've got Antonio Brown. They started off the season 8-2, and they have proved again, hey, they are a contender in the AFC. The Steelers have the third-ranked offense in yardage. They have the second-ranked defense in points allowed. So what in the world is there to worry about with Pittsburgh? Well, I would worry a little bit about the Steelers' ability to win on the road. If they don't lock up home field advantage, there could be big problems for the Steelers because, you know, they're 3-4 in the postseason under Mike Tomlin when not playing at home. And let's get real specific here. They can't seem to beat the New England Patriots. Under Tomlin, the Steelers are 2-6 against New England. They had better lock up home field because if they have to go on the road, and especially if they have to go on the road to New England, Steelers are going to be in some trouble, as good and as talented of a team as they are. Another team that looks like a contender. Hey, we saw them on Sunday. The New Orleans Saints came from down by 15 to beat Washington. Now at 8-2, the Saints are sitting on top of the NFC South. Who saw that coming? Hey, they're scoring points like they always do. They're averaging 30 points a game. The difference is that it isn't as much through the air like it always has been. Yes, Drew Brees is still playing very, very well. Still playing at a high level. But it's that Saints rushing game that has changed the look of this team so much this season. New Orleans averages over 140 yards per game on the ground alone. And the thing about that running game, not only does it help their offense, not only does it help that play action work for Drew Brees even better, it keeps their defense off the field. I'm telling you right now, the New Orleans Saints are dangerous. As we head down the stretch, they could be a contender over in the NFC. But I do still have some doubts about that defense. And primarily, I have doubts about that rushing defense because they are allowing over 110 yards per game on the ground. That is exactly the kind of flaw that could hurt the Saints in the postseason. Think about teams New Orleans could see in the playoffs. Teams like the Los Angeles Rams? Teams like the Minnesota Vikings? You think they're going to run the ball much? Yeah, that might be a problem for the New Orleans Saints. Speaking of those Minnesota Vikings, they got a huge win on Sunday too. They beat the Los Angeles Rams at home 24-7. And we saw their defense completely dominate. You know, after starting off 2-2, the Vikings have won 6 games in a row. Seems like they just kind of had to settle into that whole quarterback situation, doesn't it? Remember they had Sam Bradford? He's so beat up. The knees are so bad. You could see he just couldn't compete. So they went to Case Keenum. And Keenum has been exactly what that team has needed. This is the kind of team in Minnesota. They could make some serious noise in the playoffs. They run the ball. They play very good defense. That's a really, really good combination to have. But one of the concerns I have for Minnesota, and they've talked about it a little bit even this past few weeks, if Case Keenum has a bad game, or what if he had maybe 2 bad games? Could we see Minnesota make the move to put Teddy Bridgewater back in there? I don't know that that is going to be exactly what the Vikings are going to want to do. I don't know that you can do that. We haven't seen Bridgewater in 2 years. That could be a deadly, deadly move for Minnesota to try to make at this stage of the season. And as good as the Vikings defense is, and they are very, very good, they don't always get to the quarterback. You know, they have just 27 sacks on the entire season. And if they were to see a team like Philly, or Carolina, or New Orleans in the playoffs, they had better find a way to disrupt those quarterbacks specifically. Because those quarterbacks will pick you apart. Minnesota doesn't always get to the quarterback. That would be a little bit of a concern if I were Minnesota. A couple more teams that we have. Some of the top teams that should still have a few concerns. I have just a few doubts about these top teams. As good as they are, here's another team. They are the favorites every single year under Bill Belichick. And while they aren't even close to being that 19-0 team everyone talked about prior to the season, the New England Patriots are still going to be a very, very tough out this year. You know, the Patriots started off the year 2-2. But they've gotten rolling in the same way that they do every single year. Bill Belichick is so good at adapting to the talent that he has. So one player goes down, he plugs someone else in. One position group goes down, he accents a different position group and still takes advantage of your weaknesses. Again, I don't know that I've ever seen a head coach as good as Bill Belichick at just focusing on what he can do, what he can do well, and what he can exploit that you don't do well. He's so good at that, just week to week. I don't know that he's as good as some other coaches season to season, but just week to week, his teams just get better and better and better. We've definitely seen that from the Patriots this year. Again, despite losing Julian Edelman, despite the injuries, despite not having that many great wide receivers or even half the time in consistent running game, the Patriots offense is the top offense in the NFL again. And that defense has been patched together enough, they are getting stops when they have to get stops. They've gotten so much better. So what could derail the Patriots this year? Honestly, I think some of it could be they don't have that much depth. And they don't have depth at some very, very key spots. Don't forget, they lost linebacker Dante Hightower. And that could prove to be very important because he is such a versatile defender. He can do so many different things. You need Hightower to come up and support in the run? He can do that. You need him to drop into coverage? He can do that. You need him to pressure the opposing quarterback? He can do that. Losing a guy like that could really, really hurt the New England Patriots. And remember, speaking of Dante Hightower, as much credit as Tom Brady gets for beating the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl, that game was over until Hightower forced the fumble by Matt Ryan. That wasn't Tom Brady. And I do still think, when we're looking at flaws in the Patriots, I think Tom Brady is taking way too many hits this year. And I know he doesn't get hurt. He doesn't get sunburned. He drinks so much water. He can bend over backwards. He can do the splits. He can do all these amazing things. He eats his avocado ice cream. I get all that. I truly do. But at some point, being 40 years old and getting hit is going to affect Tom Brady. I don't know if it's going to be this year. Maybe, maybe not. But he's taken a lot of hits this year. And when they dealt his backup quarterback, again, you're kind of tempting fate, aren't you? Just a little bit. We'll see if that's going to end up being a problem for the Patriots this year. I would have a few concerns if I'm a Patriots fan. You know, the final team on our list of contenders that we do still have a few doubts about has to be the team that I'm looking at right now. And I'm saying they look like the best team in the league across the board, and that is the Philadelphia Eagles. I really like this Eagle squad. Yes, Carson Wentz is playing amazing football. He looks like he's a genuine contender for the league MVP. But it isn't just Carson Wentz. That Philadelphia defensive front is really good too. You know, they lead the league in rushing yards allowed. They allow just 66 yards per game on the ground. And we saw on Sunday night what it was they did to Dallas. Now I realize Dallas can't seem to get out of their own way. Dallas can't seem to figure things out. They can't run the ball on, I don't know, maybe anyone right now with the loss of their offensive lineman and the loss of Ezekiel Elliott. But against Philadelphia, they look particularly bad. But I'm watching that game and I'm saying, hey, Dallas is kind of staying in this game. And then Philadelphia gets on one of those rolls that they get on and all of a sudden, boom, the big run by Ajayi. Another turnover, another touchdown, another quick score. Carson Wentz throws a great pass. Alshon Jeffrey makes an incredible catch in the end zone. And all of a sudden you're like, this game was just close. And all of a sudden the Eagles are up like 30. That is the kind of explosiveness that the Philadelphia Eagles have. Like I said, to me, they look like the best team in the NFL right now. So could this be Philly's year? Maybe. It is very possible, but here is one thing that might come back to haunt the Philadelphia Eagles. If there is one concern that I have about this team, it would be this. Currently, the Eagles' strength of schedule ranks 30th out of 32 teams. And we know you get to the postseason, you get to the playoffs, you get down the stretch, it is the best of the best. A single elimination tournament and you are gone if you just have that one off day. So the opposing talent for the Eagles is about to go way, way, way up in the postseason. That would be the only concern that I really have about the Eagles. I really like the way this team is set up. I like the way Wentz is playing and the way they're coaching him. But I think the key for the Eagles is the fact that they've got that defense and especially that defensive front. They can shut a lot of things down. Now, when we look at the Thanksgiving games, I know Thanksgiving is that day that we sit around, we watch football all day. How are the games looking for our Thursday lineup, it's not great. I'll be honest, it isn't very good. So when you look at it on paper, you're like, it doesn't look very good. You just have to hope maybe we get some close games. Because the schedule itself doesn't really look all that strong. First game that morning is Minnesota at Detroit. Okay, I'll just say it. That's probably our best bet. That is probably the game that you do want to tune in for because the Vikings look very, very good. They have a very good defense. We talked about them earlier. The Lions, though, on Thanksgiving, for whatever reason, they seem to play well. That's the tradition up in Detroit. Don't be surprised if the Lions make that a close game. Okay, it's going to start going downhill, okay? That next game up, middle game, Los Angeles Chargers go to Dallas. I don't like what I'm seeing from Dallas. The Chargers might go in there and just run over the Cowboys. Since they lost Ezekiel Elliott, that looks like a completely different team. And we know Jason Garrett prides himself on being smarter than everyone else. So he's going to go out there and see if Dak Prescott can outthrow Phillip Rivers. Yeah, that might not go well. Might not go well at all. And then the final game, the primetime game. You're full. You've been eating all day. You're stuffed with pie and turkey and gravy and potatoes. And you settle in and you watch the New York Giants go to Washington to face the Redskins. Really? That's it. And I know there's no way that they could possibly have known how bad the Giants would be. I actually like the way Washington is playing this year. I think they're scrappy. We just didn't know how bad the Giants would be. Maybe they stir up some of that toughness that we saw on Sunday against the Chiefs. I don't know. It's not a great lineup for Thanksgiving in the NFL. You know, we do have some big rivalry games coming up this week in college football. And the thing about rivalry games in college football, anything can happen in these games. When you're talking about a rivalry, these teams know each other. They've seen each other. They sometimes personally know each other. Some of these schools are very, very close in proximity. They actually know kids on the other team. The coaching staffs know each other. You know what the other team is going to run before they even run it. And even when it looks like some of these games could be a mismatch, we do see a lot of upsets in rivalry week. So as we go into this Thanksgiving weekend, I'm telling you, don't sleep on these games because there are some very, very good games that are going to impact the college football playoff as we get closer and closer to New Year's Day. Now, here's a game that might slip under your radar that you might not really have thought about. But on Friday, make sure that you tune in for South Florida facing number 15 Central Florida. Remember going into the year, South Florida was kind of that team that we said, hey, they could crash the BCS party if everything fell right. Well, they ended up tripping up and losing a game. Now you have Central Florida, who is rolling along, has somehow played their way up to number 15. I can't see it happening. But if there were some major, major chaos among the top schools, Central Florida could possibly be in a position to step into a big bowl game. South Florida is no joke. They are very, very talented. This could be a really, really good game on Friday. It might not be a game between two big name schools, but on Friday, we could see a very, very good game between South Florida and Central Florida. On Saturday, though, is when we get to the really good games. On Saturday, you've got number 14 Washington State going to number 18 Washington. I realize the Pac-12 probably not going to get their way into the college football playoff. Looks like they're out. But this is a big game within the Pac-12, and this is a big game between the Cougars and the Huskies. These two schools do not like each other. The Apple Cup is at stake. Both teams are going to want to win this game. Make sure you tune in for that one. Another game that could have college playoff implications is number 7 Georgia going to Georgia Tech. Now, I know Georgia found a way to beat Kentucky on Saturday, and I know that they are way, way more talented than Georgia Tech. But don't forget, Georgia Tech plays that goofy triple option football. It is hard to play. If you are going to play a team like Georgia Tech or like one of the military academies that runs that triple option set, honestly, you want to play them in either the first game of the year when you have all summer to prep for them, or you want to play them in the bowl game when you have like a month to get ready for that, because it is completely different for your defense. Having to play Georgia Tech right now at this stage in the season, when Georgia has been playing SEC football, has been seeing a lot of spread offense, a lot of that kind of system, now to have to get ready for a triple option attack, that can be a challenge. And again, Georgia Tech isn't afraid of Georgia. They know those guys. They've seen those guys. That is a huge rivalry Georgia can't afford to sleep on Georgia Tech because remember, they're going to the SEC championship game. What if they won out? They would still have an outside chance at somehow maybe making the college football playoff. If they went in and beat Alabama in the SEC championship, hey, Georgia would be getting a few votes for the college football playoff. They can't afford to sleep on Georgia Tech. In the Big Ten, number 9 Ohio State will be going to number 24 Michigan. Now, I don't know how Michigan's still 24. You know, I watched them play Wisconsin on Saturday. That offense is just such a mess. I know Harbaugh's a very, very good coach. He can't get a quarterback in there. O'Korn is definitely not the answer. I don't think Michigan will have anything for Ohio State, but do not underestimate how difficult it will be to go into Ann Arbor and still get a win. Because those people up at Michigan, that is a loud, loud stadium. It will be difficult for Ohio State. Ohio State will have to bring their A game, and we've seen the Buckeyes don't always show up every week. Like, that's not the most dependable group that's going up into Michigan. Could Michigan find any way to give them a game? I don't know. Probably not. Ohio State has a lot to play for. They still have an outside chance at a college football playoff. They've got to get by Michigan. Another game we have, number 8 Notre Dame going to play number 22 Stanford. You know, Stanford, I still think, might be one of the most dangerous teams in the Pac-12. Bryce Love is such an incredible running back. The defense is okay. If they could get any decent quarterback play, I actually think Stanford could be in the national picture. That hasn't happened. But we saw Notre Dame, they struggled against Navy. And I'm not entirely sure where the psyche of that Notre Dame team is as they go out to Stanford. Could Stanford knock them off? Yeah, possibly. And Notre Dame does still have a lot to play for. I think it would be very, very difficult for them to get into a playoff, but it's not impossible. And if you did have chaos at the top, maybe they could move up into those rankings. We'll see if Notre Dame can beat Stanford. Here's a game that I think is very, very dangerous and definitely has national championship implications. Number 2 Clemson goes to South Carolina. Do not sleep on South Carolina in this game. Clemson's defense, very, very good. But Clemson's offense has struggled down the stretch. They are not getting consistent play out of their offense. And that South Carolina defense is pretty good. Will Muschamp, no, he can't coach offense, but he does get talent. And he does coach the defense up. If it's a tight game, if it's a close game, down in Columbia, is there any way the Gamecocks could knock off Clemson? Because if they do, that's going to shake up the picture quite a bit. Clemson is still going to the ACC championship game. What if they got beat, but then won the ACC championship? We could see some really weird things taking place if South Carolina could somehow knock off Clemson. And while we look at this game and say, come on, it's number 2 Clemson. South Carolina is not even ranked. They have no chance in this game. Not so fast. That is a huge rivalry. Those two schools hate each other. Clemson had better be very, very careful when they go to Columbia this week. And our last game on our list that you just need to make sure you set aside time for this weekend. It is the big one. The Iron Bowl. Number 1 Alabama goes to number 6 Auburn. Is there a more dangerous team right now than the Auburn Tigers? You know, we talked about Auburn prior to the season, and I said, man, I don't know why, but this Auburn team looks really good. And I know they've come up short the last few years. And then when the season started, and Auburn lost to Clemson, we're kind of looking, they're okay. They lost to LSU. I don't know. They're not that good, are they? They're getting it going down the stretch. Gus Malzahn has the Auburn Tigers playing very, very well, and I think they are extremely dangerous to Alabama this weekend. Alabama is banged up. They've lost people in key areas on their defense in that Iron Bowl. Again, there is no fear factor there. Auburn is not afraid of Bama. If Auburn knocks off Alabama, we could get a little bit of mayhem in the college football playoff because I don't know where all the pieces are going to fall if that happens. That means Auburn's going to the SEC championship. Could Auburn somehow play their way into the national football playoff? Yeah, I think they could. And it all starts this weekend with Alabama. I'm telling you right now, don't make plans for this weekend where you're actually going to have to get off the couch. Plan this weekend, Friday and Saturday. You're sitting on the couch, you're eating Thanksgiving leftovers, and you're watching football. Because in college football this weekend, it is going to be a very, very fun weekend. Again, I know there's a lot of people, they want more playoff games. These are playoff games that we are going to be watching this weekend. Hey, our Daily Dose Top 5 is coming up next, and it is Thanksgiving flavored. Yes, we have seen some really bad behavior in sports this year. But who has been bad enough to actually make our annual Daily Dose Top 5? You have to think about that one. Just a quick reminder, make sure that you head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose and do any shopping that you might need to do right there, because the holidays are coming so fast. And if you're going to do any holiday shopping, you might want to head over to Loot Crate and check out some of the things that they have over there. You know, they offer a monthly mystery crate of pop culture items. They've got exclusive merchandise from your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. Each crate is worth more than $45, and you can get a subscription for less than $20 a month. You can sign up for a single crate, though, if you don't want to get a subscription. You can get a subscription of crates that'll arrive at your mailbox every single month, or you can just go over to Loot Crate and order individual items. They have some really, really cool stuff over there. November's Loot Crate theme is called Unite 2.0. It features items from Overwatch, Voltron, Power Rangers, and DC Comics. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you place your order, just type in Daily Dose, D-A-L-Y-D-O-S-E, in the coupon box. We will get you 10% off your order. And you know, you always have someone on that holiday gift list that you're not sure what to get. Just get them a Loot Crate. They'll be thankful that you got them something that they're actually going to like. Also, make sure you do stop by our podcast network page, rogueintel.com. You know, Rogue Intel has a number of other podcasts over there, and they've got them on a variety of different subjects, anything from movies to pop culture to travel. So make sure that you go check out a few of the other podcasts that are up over at rogueintel.com. Now, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Like we talked about all show, it is Thanksgiving week. And you know, for many of us, that means a big turkey dinner on Thursday. So, as we have done over the past few years, we have to take a look back at the biggest turkeys of 2017. Problem, honestly, for me, was that there were just so many to choose from. There's been a lot of turkeys over this past year. How are we going to slim it down to just 5? It's not going to be easy, but we'll do our best. Number 5. Yes, it might seem blasphemous to put the greatest player in the history of my beloved Denver Broncos on this list, but I don't have a choice. I have to. John Elway, I love you, but you made a huge mistake with Brock Osweiler when you drafted him in the second round of the 2012 NFL draft. Don't forget, Elway drafted Osweiler ahead of players like, I don't know, Russell Wilson, T.Y. Hilton. But then Elway did it again last year when he drafted Paxton Lynch with the 26th overall pick of the 2016 NFL draft. In fact, just to show you what I'm talking about, a list of the offensive players that Elway has drafted while he's been here in Denver. Are you ready for this list? Julius Thomas, not bad. Virgil Green, Brock Osweiler, Ronnie Hillman, Philip Blake, Monte Ball, Tavares King, Cody Latimer, Michael Schofield, Matt Paradis, Ty Sambrylo, Jeff Heirman, Trevor Siemian, Devontae Booker, Paxton Lynch, Connor McGovern. Do you see a trend here? John Elway, you have to let someone else make these picks on the offensive side of the ball. Hey, he's been very good at picking up talent on the defensive side, but it is growing more and more apparent. John Elway can't draft offensive players. It is clearly not working. The Broncos' offense is simply offensive. They are one of the worst offenses in the NFL. Oh, and by the way, the Broncos are one of the worst teams in the NFL, too. It's not a coincidence. It's because their roster doesn't have a whole lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball. And it's because Elway has not drafted well. We talked about it a few weeks back. The Denver Broncos are one of just 3 teams to not have a Pro Bowl player drafted since 2012. Becoming a problem. Broncos are horrible. I'm looking at that team going, man, I don't know if they're going to win another game. They may go 3-13. Offense is so bad. Then you get rid of Osweiler and you bring him back. I don't understand it. Are you seriously telling me he's any better than Trevor Siemian? I can't tell the difference. Looks the same. John Elway, you're definitely one of our turkeys of the year. coming in at number 4 on our list of turkeys of the year. Look, I know that a lot of people have been hammering the father of the Ball clan.
Phrasing?
He says his son Lonzo is better than Steph Curry. Poor Lonzo Ball can't score 20 points in an empty gym right now. He says he could beat Michael Jordan in one-on-one back in his prime. Yeah, I got news for you. LaVar Ball couldn't get on the floor for Cal State LA in his prime. He pulled his youngest son out of high school to be homeschooled so that he could focus more on basketball. He started his own shoe brand of horribly ugly shoes. They're not even made yet, and he's trying to charge $500 per pair. But I'm okay with all that stuff coming from LaVar Ball. He's made his family a household name. Well, I was okay with most all of it until his middle son, LiAngelo, who is a freshman at UCLA, got popped for shoplifting. Wait for it. He didn't get caught for shoplifting here. He got caught shoplifting in China a few weeks ago as UCLA was over in China to play a few exhibition games. Hey, we've talked about it before. Kids don't change, right? Kids are going to try to get away with silly things. Kids are going to make dumb decisions. It's up to the adults to be the adults, right? Here is the problem that I now have with LaVar Ball after the shoplifting incident. LaVar Ball said, it's no big deal. Not really a big deal. Now, who knows what LaVar Ball says behind closed doors? He might be reading LiAngelo the Riot Act. I have no idea. But it is a big deal. It's a huge deal when you get caught shoplifting in a communist country. It's a huge deal when you get caught shoplifting and it causes an international incident that embarrasses you, your family, and your university who you are there representing. And I bet it would have been a really big deal if China hadn't dropped the charges and left LiAngelo in a Chinese prison for a few years, which they totally could have done. Come on, LaVar Ball. Be the adult. Like I said, we know kids are dumb. We know kids are going to try to get away with dumb things. Be the adult. Hey, it's a big deal, and we're going to deal with it. Could you just say that? Again, I haven't had a problem with all the nonsense coming out of him. I'll give him this. He usually is a pretty involved parent. I wish we had a lot more guys like that. Yes, he's a blowhard and talks too much, but I didn't have a problem with that stuff. Acting like this isn't a big deal? Yeah, it's kind of stupid. I kind of have a problem with that. And for that, I'll give LaVar Ball one of our turkeys of the year. He comes in at number 4. Moving on to number 3. I've got to give our number 3 turkey to Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones. You know, he's battling NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell and hoping that Goodell's contract will not be renewed. Jerry Jones has threatened to sue the NFL if Goodell is renewed to a proposed 5-year deal, which is kind of interesting to me because, you know, it was just a few years ago that he was singing Goodell's praises for going after Tom Brady and the New England Patriots for the Deflategate scandal. But what's changed? Now Jones is saying, well, yeah, but he's totally different. Goodell is totally different. This has all changed. He's still making him money. He's still having to deal with all the nonsense. He's still the one getting booed every year at the draft. So what's changed? Oh, I know what's changed. Goodell went after Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott because Goodell suspended Elliott for 6 games under the league's personal conduct policy because of some allegations about domestic abuse against Elliott. And Jerry took it all very, very personal. Remember, Jerry Jones, it's just business.
My brother, it's always business, never personal.
And you know, this battle has a chance to get really, really ugly for the NFL before it's all over. Come on, Jerry. You told Robert Kraft to just take his medicine and accept his punishment. Now it's time for you to take your own advice. And because he's not doing that, Jerry Jones is our number 3 turkey of 2017. Moving on to number 2. Come on. It's got to be former Louisville basketball coach Rick Pitino. He has to be on this list. College basketball is in the middle of one of the biggest scandals in its history. And big surprise, Rick Pitino is in the middle of it. You know, in all, in this scandal, there are 8 programs that have been named by the FBI for their role in the violation of NCAA rules. Louisville, Arizona, Auburn, USC, Oklahoma State, South Carolina, Alabama, and Miami have all been named by the FBI. Of course, Rick Pitino says he doesn't know anything about paying athletes. He also said he didn't know anything about the strippers and hookers being hired for his players on recruiting trips. Rick, what did you know? I'm surprised you even knew to show up to the games on time. Now, it's getting more interesting, though, because now a new federal indictment suggests Pitino was aware of the scheme to pay Cardinals recruit Brian Bowen, and he even participated in the plan. The indictment, which was released last week by the U.S. Attorney's Office, includes a new description of a meeting in a Las Vegas hotel room back in July. And according to the indictment, the FBI recorded and videotaped the meeting between an AAU basketball coach and a Louisville assistant coach and some other people as they conspired to pay this recruit's family to ensure that he signed with Louisville.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Rick Pitino, you are a huge turkey in 2017. So who could be our number one turkey of 2017? Who else could it be? They might not go by the Dirty Birds so much anymore, but can you find a bigger turkey than a team that is up 28-3 halfway through the third quarter of the biggest American football game in the world? Yeah, I think not. The Atlanta Falcons had everything going their way. They were giving the Patriots all kinds of problems. Tom Brady was looking very average. League MVP Matt Ryan was rolling, and then it all changed. The Falcons found a way to lose in the worst way on the biggest stage possible. There were literally, if you go back and watch, there were literally 10 or 11 plays in Super Bowl 51 that if any of them go the Falcons' way, they still win the Super Bowl. Zero of those plays went that way. Not a single one. They couldn't make one single play. And now I am forced to hear about how Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback in the history of ever because the Atlanta Falcons pooped their pants? Would he have been the greatest quarterback ever if he had lost to the Atlanta Falcons? Would he be the greatest quarterback ever if Malcolm Butler doesn't pick off Russell Wilson? That is the fine line we're walking, isn't it, folks? We've seen a lot of turkeys in 2017, but without question, the Atlanta Falcons are the biggest. They are our number one entry on the 2017 Turkeys of the Year. Hey, next week, we are going to take just a brief look at what to expect in college basketball this season. Plus, we will recap Rivalry Week in college football, and we'll see if that playoff picture is clearing up at all for the college football playoff. Plus, we will be talking some NFL and NBA, and we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. Hey, it is going to be the final weekly show for the Daily Dose before we switch to our daily format, so you know you have to tune in. I've got to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening. We are so glad to have you join us each week. Thank you for recommending the show to your friends. We really, really do appreciate it. Don't forget, December 4th, we'll be bringing you a new show every single weekday. We would love to hear from you. Feel free to contact us with what's on your mind. You can email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com or find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Thanks to Trixie for stopping by. Always enjoy your visits. Never quite sure what we're going to get when we get Trixie on, but we always do enjoy when you do stop by. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week. Have a very safe and happy Thanksgiving.